A young man is sticking a sheet of blank paper to his living room wall.
Okay, so... I'm really bad with family tree stuff, by the way, so... I'll start with... me.
Ollie was born to two mums using a sperm donor.
I describe myself as objective, logical, obsessed with specific topics. Like, I don't have much emotion.
He has Asperger's.
I've grown up being told that I'm weird, that I'm not normal enough for people. But I felt like I've not really had anyone around growing up.
I know Ollie has constantly wanted deep friendships, but has never been able to achieve them.
6 months ago, everything changed. Overnight, Ollie went from being an only child to one of 26 siblings.
Sterling, Sarah, Spencer.
Sibling number 15.
Oh, Melissa.
Sibling number 12.
Oh, Lindsay.
Number 20.
I think I'm sibling number 22.
13.
14.
Number 7.
Number 8.
I'm so confused by this.
Number 1.
3.
2. 26.
From one American donor dad.
I have 26 siblings. That's two baseball teams.
We're all kind of new to this. For the first generation that this situation has ever applied to.
Is there any I'm missing? I feel like there's... No, not yet.
Now Ollie has the chance to belong to this new kind of family.
The plan is to fly from state to state in America, meeting some of these siblings where they live, then have one big reunion at the end in California.
Flying on a plane.
I think his intention going into this journey is definitely to feel loved. He feels that these siblings, there's this shorthand. They're just going to go, bam, get you.
What do you want to get out of it?
Jesus Christ, like, fucking one, at least. Strong, good, healthy relationship.
Clips of Ollie meeting his siblings in different cities throughout the US. 25 siblings and me. An end of terrace house in Islington, London.
This whole thing started because I was curious about my biological family. So I signed up to a US website that helps children of sperm donors find each other. About 6 months ago, I got this email from someone called Jordan with the subject line, "Nice to meet you." Hi, Oliver. I know this must be a bit overwhelming for you, but I've lots to tell you. We are all so excited to know you. And when I say we, I mean not only your donor daily, who I'm in contact with, but, deep breaths, your 24 other half-siblings. Hopefully we can talk soon. Smiley face.
He searches for Jordan on Facebook and opens her profile.
I knew that my donor existed, but it was some mystical thing that was in the back of my head. I didn't know how many siblings I had, I knew nothing. And it's like, oh, fuck, OK, this giant dynamic that I was totally unaware of.
When all this happened, my first thought was, this is a joke, this is a wind-up.
Ollie's mum, Jodie, then footage of her in 1999.
In a gay relationship, you try to have a child as connected as you possibly can with your partner. The only way that we saw it working was to take one egg from one, fertilise it externally, and put into the other one. I was the carrier.
Ollie's mums went to California for the process.
Ollie is the first child of egg transfer to be born in the UK.
Jodie nuzzling Ollie as a baby. In the USA, there is no limit on the number of babies that can be born to each sperm donor.
When choosing a donor, what was top criteria?
Anonymous. Yeah. Glaringly obvious.
What?
Identity release. No. You don't want a third party knocking on the door. We had a choice, and we wanted to protect that family unit.
My donor?
He was just a number. But
he decided to take himself off the anonymous thing and make himself a known donor. Some of the siblings, they started to find each other through DNA testing and also sibling registries. Pretty much almost all of them, for years, have been meeting up, going to reunions.
And it's like our lifelong dream coming true.
I cannot stop smiling.
Ollie's watching an online video of his siblings reuniting in Mexico in 2018. Four of them hug in an airport before going to a hotel room where more of them are waiting. Two brothers pose for a photo with their arms around each other's shoulders.
Oh my gosh, I just think it would have been amazing to be there.
3 months after finding his siblings, Ollie went to meet some of them. Footage from the reunion in Big Bear Lake, California.
Everybody say hi to the group Insta.
Hello.
We may be going to get impulse tattoos at some point today.
Cheers!
When I met them and when I spent time with them, I just got such a warm, fuzzy feeling that I've never experienced before. It sort of felt like I actually have these people that will have my back, but it sort of turned out quite differently.
Why?
WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp, Ollie writes, "Hi all, it's Ollie."
In the beginning, it was great. It went quite well, actually.
He gets warm responses from nearly all of his siblings who are located all over the US. Jeremy says, "What's up?" from Massachusetts. And Kristen says, "Hi from California." Ollie writes, "I don't get emotional with this stuff. My Asperger's makes me a bit of a robot." An emoji of a robot's head is superimposed on Ollie's body as he smokes in the street with sunglasses on. Jody.
I think emotionally, his Asperger's is very clear in the way that he doesn't feel in the same way that perhaps you or I would feel.
I like things like carnivorous plants.
What's in there?
Oh, those are my Madagascan hissing cockroaches.
He's hardwired differently.
I've got some glass catfish. It's really cool.
But why is that cool?
Because it's unlike most other fish.
What's your favourite animal?
Oh, tardigrades.
I know Ollie has wanted social connections, but it doesn't come naturally for him. That comes down to his inability to understand another person's situation. In his world, it's very black and white. You have an argument, you have a debate. The emotional side doesn't come into it.
On WhatsApp, Ollie writes, "Guys, she's such a bitch."
Over the next few months, there were a few arguments.
Brittany. Let's maybe refrain from dropping the B word, because you're a dude and it makes me uncomfortable. Lindsay, it's a gendered slur. Ollie writes, "I call all my friends bitch. Do you think I'm trying to be nasty?" Lindsay, it doesn't matter. The word itself is harmful to us, regardless of my intentions. Brittany, Lindsay and Sarah all say yes.
When backed into a corner, Ollie will find that really hard to navigate either backwards or forwards, and his natural instinct is to plough on through.
Ollie sends a barrage of messages. "You should be more open to discussing the reasoning behind requests. I refuse to put up with silly social rituals and dogma. This is total hypocrisy."
Everyone should be able to have rational conversations. The problem is a lot of them take debate very personally.
Ollie's on a bus.
Oh, that was like the pro-life, pro-choice debate. Oh yeah, we speak about the wealth gap, systematic racism, sperm donors, authoritarianism, superficial gay culture, male friends.
Mackenzie, you've been told on multiple occasions that you're offending the group. Lindsay, you're so condescending to all of us. Ollie, I still want to have a close relationship with all of you, because I do feel close to you all, whether you like it or not. Anyway, I'm feeling really hurt right now.
What do you want from them?
To be honest, I just want them to accept me for who I am, and to not feel that I'm being careless just through being me. That's it, really, to be honest.
Ollie plans to fly across America visiting his siblings. He will meet up with his donor dad before joining the biggest family reunion yet. Ollie places a suitcase on his bed.
The fact is, the majority feeling towards me in the group is negative. I want to see if that can change. It's my family, so obviously it's important to me. Okay. It's just again because it's so hot. Like, what will I really need?
It's not even that hot.
Yeah, it will.
He drops some clothes into his suitcase.
This was a whammy that I didn't see coming.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's difficult to protect him from, especially this scenario, because it's not just friends, it's siblings. There is this connection.
He drags his suitcase down the stairs.
If Ollie didn't have Asperger's and I hadn't seen him struggle throughout all of his schooling years, I would hope that this would open up more doors, more friendships. With the way that it's gone so far, I don't really know what Ollie will, how it will be, because there's so many unknown variables. But yeah, I'm dreading it. Take a step back and just nod and go, isn't that lovely? You know, whereas, you know, your heart's kind of like, ah. Going cautiously, don't wear your heart on your sleeve and work out where you want to invest your time. You'll know that I'll be stalking you.
Ollie smiles at his phone in the back of a cab.
I'm starting to realise we're actually going to the US.
He wheels his suitcase towards Terminal 3 at Heathrow Airport.
I'm a man on fire, walking through your street with one guitar and two dancing feet. Only one desire that's left in me. Want the whole damn world to come dance with me.
Ollie walks up the boarding steps of his plane with the rest of the passengers. It takes off and flies high over a carpet of clouds as the setting sun casts the sky in an orange hue. On board, Ollie shoos away the cameraman with a smile as he reads a book in his seat. In a darkened bedroom in the morning, Ollie gets out of bed wrapped in a duvet. He sits down in front of the window and pulls up the blinds. He looks out on a quiet suburban street that's covered in snow.
I thought it was going to be warm.
Rochester, New York. Ollie's talking to Jody on the phone on the front porch of a house.
How's it going? Are you warm enough clothes?
And I thought it would be like a tropical paradise, but it's freezing where I am. We're just at the Airbnb and we're planning to see Lindsay later tonight.
All right, darling, we'll keep me posted.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon.
A young woman with long, curly ginger hair sits down for an interview.
I'm Lindsay. I am sibling number 20.
So I would say Lindsay is one of the more sort of volatile siblings. She can be like the most empathetic and warm and fuzzy, but she can also be slightly scary.
At night, Ollie sits down by a window in a deli and cafe called Magnolias.
Just want to have the opportunity to have a one-on-one sort of relationship with her.
Lindsay walks in and approaches Ollie's table.
What I know is I feel quite nervous. You just want these things to work out.
Oh my God! Hey!
Oh, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, I'm good.
I like this.
Thank you.
This is only like the second time you've been around any of us. It's weird, I don't usually think we like look a ton alike, but for some reason I'm like looking at you and I'm seeing my face and it's really weird. Oh. I don't know if you're like having that experience, but like it's still that like you expect the craziness of it to get like
it less doesn't,
but... and like magnitude of the crazy to decrease over time, but it doesn't.
Some noises like really irritate you.
Yeah.
I hate chewing.
Me too.
Oh my God.
It's called misophonia. A couple of us have it, actually. It like,
do you eat, like
it makes
lemons
me want to die.
Well?
Yeah, I'm one of the ones that eat lemons. I peel them and I eat them like oranges. It's really interesting that all of us sort of individually came to the conclusion that like, okay, we're gonna try and make this a family. And it seems to kind of have worked, right?
It's not gonna be like 100% harmonious, but the fact that like so many people are in contact and chat,
yeah, for sure,
at all, it's like just oh my god, that's huge.
Very nice.
Thank you so much.
The way I sort of describe it is just like, you know, we're as dysfunctional as any other family, right? Like every family has its stuff, but I think it gives it character.
Photos of Lindsay with her immediate family.
2 years ago, Mom and I were talking, and I was like, I just want to understand. I feel like there's this thing, and I don't know what it is. I can't identify what it is, but like, I know it's there. She told me we had trouble conceiving you. We had to do fertility treatments while your dad couldn't have kids, so we chose to use a sperm donor. I actually went through like a couple weeks where I like couldn't really look in mirrors. That transitioned into, and it's like still a thing now where like I just like can't stop staring at my face because it's like I finally understand where it comes from.
She's gazing into a mirror.
Nobody in my family has curly hair like this. Nobody has green eyes that like all of us have.
Photos of some of her female siblings.
We've been siblings since the day we were born. I just didn't know them. Had all of these people that I like had to get to know, and I wanted to do it as fast as possible.
Oh my God, we're the same height. This is so weird. Hi. We have the same eye color. What the fuck?
Do it. Go meet Kristen.
It was so overwhelming and so emotional.
Oh my God, you are
here. It's almost like primal recognition of something in each other that's like just transcends anything.
Lindsay and one of her sisters share a long hug.
It's understandable that there might be more clashes because the amount of us and the newer siblings, like me, probably still have a lot more to learn.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah, I think so.
I sort of think about it like it's a mirror. You can see the best parts and the worst parts of yourself reflected in other people in the group. And so, you know, like you can either choose to like grow from that or you cannot. But I don't think it's like the best growth opportunity that anybody could ever possibly ask for.
They leave the deli together and walk off down the street.
I wasn't sure I'd be that excited. But then when I was actually sitting there like waiting, and then I like saw her, I all of a sudden got like an adrenaline spike. What I know is I feel like a fuzzy, warm feeling. I think it went well. I like Lindsay.
Do you think she likes you?
I don't know. I think, I'm not sure, to be honest.
I think Oliver can be incredibly sweet. Like, I like Oliver most of the time.
He sends her a message saying he's missing her.
My thing with Oliver is I feel like I'm always so anxious about what he's gonna say. It almost feels like walking on eggshells.
I think he feels the same way about walking on eggshells.
Probably.
She writes, same. Thanks for coming all this way.
The problem is these relationships, they're the most important thing, and they're delicate, and you have to be so careful.
They're other siblings.
This is a very complex situation. It's complex people. It's a very fragile group dynamic, and it is upset very easily.
It's delicate.
is a delicate thing that we all choose to invest time and energy into. These are relationships that we have, like, nurtured to grow. So many of us are so socially aware. Obviously, Oliver having Asperger's, being like in that realm, that changes things.
Ollie's smoking.
Need to get in the car, Oz.
I know. All in good time.
We haven't got good time. It's like 4:45, the flight's at 6, so we've got to drop off the car.
All in good time. Patience. Patience is a virtue, Will.
He takes another drag, then blows the smoke into the cold night air. He walks round the car, trudging carefully through snow. As the car approaches the airport, he gets a message from his mum. Hi, darling. How did it go? Good. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Flying to Phoenix now. On the flight, he sits with his fingers in his ears. His mum calls him a jet setter. Ollie wheels his suitcase out of an airport in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Mum, who are you seeing today? Ollie, Brooklyn and her baby Luna. A young woman with brown hair is changing her baby's nappy.
Hi, I'm Brooklyn and I'm sibling number 13.
What do you see?
Ollie writes, feeling a bit anxious. What do you say to a baby?
It was always, like, something different about me that meant that I couldn't normally socialise with people.
You're gonna meet your Uncle Oliver.
Why don't you get along with most people?
To be honest, I don't know. I feel like perhaps I miss certain sort of, like, in-the-moment social cues, maybe.
Luna, can you say hi?
Hello.
Say hi, Uncle Ollie.
Oh my god.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I don't know. It's so adorable, day.
Hi. So cute.
How are you anyway? Anyway, I don't really know like what to say. It's very cute.
Ollie, it's like an adorable sentient jelly bean.
I grew up with a mom, a dad, and then twin brother and sister, Spencer and Jordan.
How's it going?
Hey.
Hello!
Oh my god,
Jordan. Nice to meet you. You were taller than I expected.
Oh yeah, they've never met.
I don't know what I was expecting, but hello.
I'm Jordan, and I'm sibling number 14.
I like this. Is that a scarf?
Yeah, it is. Aww, it's really nice to see you again.
I'm Spencer, and I'm sibling number 15.
I can cook really good, like, venison or steak, but that's not really relevant to a vegan.
Excellent observation.
Ollie catches a ton of shit for things that he does, which are oftentimes largely his fault.
At the moment, the mood in regards to you is relatively negative because of the text interaction. Reading messages from you, it is easy to be like, oh, he's just being an asshole. On some level, in a group like this, you have to have some kind of filter if you don't want to be constantly arguing.
Being considerate obviously goes a long way for your relationships. Yeah.
People are actually concerned about you to an extent. Some people, whenever they're talking about something that's maybe contentious, they try to make it very clear that they're trying to be sensitive to how other people feel about it. And I think people get upset with you because you can just be more deadpan about it. Do you know what I mean?
For me, what has been repeated in the group a lot is impact over intentions, which doesn't make any sense because the impact should also include someone's intentions and actually understanding who they are and what they mean.
He's atypical socially, but it doesn't make it so that he's absolved of responsibility for like when he says stuff that upsets people, right? Like the Asperger's adds context, but it doesn't excuse things to the degree that I think he might want them to. If he's acting like a dick, people will be like, yeah, I mean, I get that that's who you are, but also, like, I'm just not interested.
it sucks because I'd really like to sort of just have like that opportunity just to sort of get to know people on like a more of a one-on-one basis. I'm not like the easiest person to have a relationship with for some people, and like I understand that, but you know, it is still upsetting for me sometimes sort of having sort of like the same issues like over and over.
I hope you know that the three of us, we will always listen to how you're feeling and try to help. And I know that we're not perfect, like we can all get frustrated too, but I do hope that you feel that you at least have some kind of support system if you ever do need to talk about something.
Just like having three people like face to face, it's a lot less scary and unpredictable, and like everyone's on the same page more, sort of, if that makes sense. Well, maybe not on the same page, but at least in the same book, you know what I mean?
Family photos.
Me and Brooklyn and Jordan, we've been so close for our whole lives.
My dad had some substance abuse problems when we were really little, and then lasted throughout most of my childhood from there on.
I remember so many times growing up when I just was so hurt and appalled by the things that he would do that I would say, like, you might be my father, but you're not my dad. And I meant that, and it must have hit him so much harder than I could have possibly imagined.
3 years ago, sitting at home on the couch watching TV, and my phone started ringing, and it was my dad, which was weird because he does not call often.
He called me and I thought we'd just have a conversation, and he's like,
there's something that I've been wanting to tell you for a long time and I just can't keep it a secret anymore. He was crying and he said, I'm not your real dad.
I don't know, it's so crazy. Like, it really felt like a movie moment. You've come to believe one thing your whole life. It was sort of this flood of realization. Every conflict we had had before, this was something that was probably like this fact was running in the background for him.
I immediately called my mom. She was just like, I can't believe he told you. She had been like actively trying to keep this a secret forever.
I think it's actually quite possible that a massive amount of our childhood trauma was rooted in the fact that they kept this a secret from us.
Sibling two, Kristen.
I think it's a fear that a lot of parents have that maybe their kids will see them as less than once they know that their genetics aren't the same.
My parents, they were told to the best thing for the child was to never tell them and pretend that everything was normal.
They say that the doctors told them not to.
They were worried that I would feel different.
The most important people in your early life have been lying to you about the very nature of your existence for your entire life.
My eyes are unlike anyone's in my family. Last year for Christmas, I bought myself a genetic test. I was hoping to find more about, you know, am I German? Am I Irish? I had no clue that my dad wasn't my biological father. My cousin knew, my aunts and uncles knew, my grandma knew, my parents knew, my stepmother knew, my mom's fiance knew. I was the only one who didn't know about my biology. My life has changed drastically. I went from being an only child to talking to one of my siblings now every single day. They've really been like the light and the silver lining to the negative that was this big secret of my whole life.
Come over here quickly. There's a like a hummingbird.
He's filmed it on his phone.
Look how cute that is.
A grey cat walks behind the bush that the hummingbird is hovering around.
How are you feeling after yesterday?
I feel like it went a lot better than I thought it would.
in person, like, I think it went really well, to be honest. Just, like, hanging out and doing nothing, like, those small things, I think, really matter a lot more than I thought they would.
He gets a message from his mum. Morning. Smiley face. How's it going out of 10? Jodie's sitting by a fireplace in her mansion when Ollie responds, 8 out of 10. I'm going bowling with Spencer. As Ollie's driven across a desert highway, Jodie writes, keep me posted. Love you. I'm off to bed. Kiss, kiss, kiss. She puts down her phone and smiles as flames crackle and dance in the fireplace. Ollie's smoking in his sunglasses at the side of the highway.
Of all of the siblings, Spencer is probably one of my top priorities in terms of who I want to have a relationship with. I mean, he's just very, very intelligent, very, very intellectually stimulating. I want to open a gateway to perhaps him thinking about wanting to have a closer relationship with me.
Tucson, Arizona.
These are my best friends. I've known them for so long. I've told them about you a little bit. I was like, I told them that you're British, but they're excited to meet you. You're actually the first of any of my half-siblings they've met before.
Really?
Yeah, these are like my best friends.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
Hello. Nice to meet you, I'm Tyler.
I'm Ollie. Nice to meet you.
Hey, I'm Cam.
One of his half-brothers.
Yeah.
Spencer rolls a strike.
Oh my gosh.
Ollie grins and shakes his head after putting on a pair of bowling shoes. He has a go and knocks down all but 3 of the pins.
I heard her sing in tongues of silver.
He knocks down the remaining pins in one go. Now he's talking to Spencer's friend Tyler.
Have you tried any like food places that you've really liked?
I mean, no, not yet. We've been like at really trashy, like sort of drive-through places. Like,
That's the American experience, right there.
Yeah. If 3 and 4 were 7 only, where would that leave 1 and 2? If love can be and still be lonely, where does that leave me and you? Time there was and time there will be. Where does that leave me and you?
Spencer's bowled another strike.
Do you have your own bowling ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had that since 6th grade.
Interesting.
You know, it's good, but then if I don't bowl for a long time and then I go bowl and I have like all this gear and then I do absolute shit, they're like, nice.
Ollie and Spencer are walking through the car park together.
On that one hand, Ollie is so socially confident, but the funny thing about it is he never really has had, you know, a friend.
Footage of Ollie as a young boy charging around a back garden with a boy his age.
If I had your love for a
Ollie climbs onto the toy car that the other boy is in, but the boy pushes him off and Ollie falls down.
He never makes very strong relationships with people. His relationships are transient, but now he's getting older. He wants to make his mark with friendships and have people who care about him.
I find it really interesting how like temperature affects the sex of like baby turtles and tortoises and other reptiles.
It does?
Yeah, so like, I can't remember which way it is, but depending on the temperature.
Ollie's looking for this eureka connection. And I think having this perceived genetic links, he thinks that there's a shorthand and he feels that they're just gonna go, bam, get you.
And this gets you a good view.
It does actually.
The whole courtyard.
Well, I enjoy having a one-on-one relationship with you.
I think you do piss people off, and I
do piss
but like you're
off.
Saying, I do. Yeah. I do try to like stay objective about it. I get why people get upset with you. Sometimes I've been upset with you, but I think your personality meshes with mine,
Like the type of conversationalist I am, I could just go round and round about a subject for hours and like not lose stamina about it.
We do have like good debates and like conversations.
Yeah, and like in that way, like that's a personality trait that we share that I'm glad we share.
Yeah, how would you describe your sort of relationship with me? And like, is it a sort of brotherly thing? Is it like a more cousin-like relationship or?
I'm closer to you than I am to my cousins. And whenever I'm describing you to people, I describe you as my brother.
Oh.
Because you are my brother, right? But like, growing up with full siblings, I probably am, like I've already felt the connection of being full sibling or being siblings with someone before. So it's not as novel to me. Whereas for you, you're like meeting someone and it's a sibling and you're like.
Yeah, no, I do feel like I feel like closer to you than you feel to me.
I think if you probably take some aspect of any relationship between two people and then you compare the feelings between two people, it's very unlikely that they're going to be exactly the same. So if you ask me, do I think that we feel exactly as I feel as close to you as you feel to me? Probably not, right? Because that's almost never the case.
A plane flies through the night sky.
That's not me saying that
you
like me and I'm done with you or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I think there's actually still a lot of room for us to get to know each other more. It's still something to grow into, right?
Yeah.
And we'll know each other for a long time. And you think about how much longer, I mean, we're still so young. A lot of time to grow into it still.
Mm.
Only knowing each other for, I mean, how long have we known each other? Less than a year.
They're sitting on the front steps of an academic building at the University of Arizona.
Well, I always have wanted like an older brother type figure. Someone who can tell me off if I'm being inappropriate or help me feel better about myself if I'm feeling a bit down. And to show that person that I care about them.
And why an older brother? Why not like an older sister?
I don't know why. I never thought that I would care about the gender of anyone that, of any of the siblings. And I still feel close to a lot of the female siblings, but there's something about having an older brother specifically that makes me feel a certain way.
I waited until I was about 45, which is a little late. And I went to the doctor to find out if I was in good physical shape. And she said I could have a child, but my eggs were not viable, so I would need donors. On January 21st, 1995, I had a boy, and I named him Sterling Alexander Knight, and he's grown up to be a wonderful young man.
Sterling, who wears glasses, sits down for an interview.
I used to be very close with Sterling.
My name's Sterling, and I was the 16th sibling to be found.
First sibling I ever met in person.
Hello. It's happening. We didn't really get, you know, the video. There's no one else here, so
yeah,
I don't really know what you wanted.
Sterling came to England. Oh, God, it was amazing. And Ollie was so thrilled. I mean, it was the first time probably I'd seen him really express proper emotions. And Sterling was amazing with Ollie. It was really strange for me to see after, you know, my 20-year-old son, for the first time having this massive connection with someone. And I think then when Sterling flew out, I think that's when Ollie just lost it. He cried and cried and cried and cried, and he had never, I don't know, felt something in that way before. No.
What are the emotions that you're feeling? Like, why do you get emotional when you think of that?
Because he's my son, and I've always wanted, like any mother, you want your child to, you know, have connections that are positive and rewarding and full of depth, where you really feel something for somebody. You know, and that's amazing. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. We do have similar eyes, don't we?
Which direction is it facing?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
I would not have the camera this close to my double chin. Right.
Well. Ollie, you have no idea how much I miss hanging out. Sterling, thanks, that means a lot. Ollie, I would love to build a strong relationship with you. Sterling, that is already underway.
The fact that I had this big brother figure, you know, I felt so close to him and it all sort of just went to shit, really.
And what caused that turn?
Because I told him I was checking my eligibility to be a sperm donor.
Peering through a microscope at millions of tiny sperm cells swimming around.
I think the big reason for this was because he has always struggled and been an outsider all of his life. Him being chosen by somebody as a sperm donor for them to have their family would be the ultimate acceptance for him.
A Baster syringe sucking up a single sperm cell.
When I told some of the siblings, the way that they reacted was just absolutely unreal. I was told that the idea of me donating is offensive because I have Asperger's.
Why were you particularly upset with Sterling?
Because Sterling, you know, at the beginning, flew down to London to come and see me.
Mum, who are you seeing next? Ollie, Sterling, Mum. Hope it goes okay. Love you.
What was it that turned in with Ollie? Was it the sperm donation thing?
I'm actually not sure if I want to get into that.
Rain on a plane window.
He thinks I've lied about having Asperger's to the bank. Because I didn't tell them at the very beginning, he thought that that was an issue. The first test they do, they don't actually require you to fill out a form beforehand. They do the freeze test first. After that, they then proceed to go through your medical history and so on. Of course, I would disclose all of my medical information.
Sperm banks don't usually take on donors with Asperger's. But Ollie can donate privately as long as he discloses his medical history. Nighttime in Oakland, California.
He phrased it as if I've put myself in this position and it's my fault.
But what do you want from him?
I want him to be my big brother again. And I want him to look out for me again. And I wanna show him that I care about him.
You have reached the voicemail button.
No.
Ollie, I've been waiting outside Sterling's house for hours. Apparently he's in bed with a migraine.
I was just wondering if everything was okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't worry.
I think that he needs a night of rest and he has to get through that migraine.
Yeah.
I don't know what he can actually do about it because they last quite a while.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's him. Hello? Do you want, like, soup and painkillers? Let's just do it tomorrow when you're feeling a bit more bright-eyed and bushy-tails.
Ollie. Sterling said he'd meet me at 8 a.m. At 9:20 a.m.
You have reached the voicemail box of...
He's now over an hour late. I'm going to call him on Skype.
Has he said anything back?
No.
Has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
He's on another call, apparently. And he's not messaged me to let me know he'll be late or anything like that. I miss my relationship with him that I had And the time we spent in the UK was probably one of the most meaningful weeks of my entire life. I really enjoyed the relationship that he wanted to have with me. And he's just fucked me over.
He stares into space as he sits on the bed in his hotel room. Now he's walking down a street smoking. He passes two homeless people sleeping under a blanket on some grass and looks over at them. He carries a bag of shopping over to the homeless people who are still asleep. He puts the bag down beside them without them noticing and walks off. Now he's standing outside his hotel room, staring at his phone.
Are you okay?
No.
So what's happening?
I don't know.
He sits down in his room.
I didn't even want to talk about it, to be honest. I'm just really pissed. I randomly bought, like, three bags of, like, sandwiches and shit, and just, like, was dropping them off at random people, which is felt like a big fuck you to Sterling. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm done. I just don't. To be honest, I just want to get out and just go somewhere else.
From Ollie staring towards the window of his hotel room to Jodie gazing out of a window at home. Swigging from a bottle of water, Ollie goes over to the window and looks out.
I hope they like it. What if I've gotten them, like, a flavour that they, like, a sandwich they really hate?
One of the rough sleepers is drinking.
Summer sun, wash away the troubles.
Jodie sends a message to Ollie while standing in front of a large chicken coop. How did Sterling go? He stood me up. You okay? Yes, I'm fine. Kiss, kiss. Otherwise, I'll hop on a plane and make sure. Big kiss.
He's my pain. Wash it all away.
The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Ollie, off to see Donor Daily today, going via Sperm Bank of California, where Daily made his donation. Jodie's looking through a folder filled with paperwork.
April 1998. My ex, that's what we wanted the sperm donor to look like. Must be handsome in a cute way, not with a big jaw. God, who were we? Small nose, fine features, well proportioned, similar to Brad Pitt, Rob Lowe. No migraines or acne. Choosing the sperm became a minefield, you know, pages and pages of stuff to us.
Kristen.
Eye color, height, no photos. So my parents just went through and they found the people that sounded like my dad on paper and just, I think, put a finger down and said that one.
Sibling three, Mackenzie.
I still have the catalog. Like, my mom kept it and she gave it to me. It, like, has pencil numbers on, like, their top five choices. And I was like, I wonder what it'd been like if I had been from donor number four.
The vials are stored in these big tanks here, and then we ship them in these little tanks.
How old are these tanks?
These tanks? This tank over here is probably about 25 years old, maybe older.
Oh, wow. Could have been, like, the tank that I was in. Well,
one of these older
half
ones.
Half of me.
Possibly. Not you, but a potential to be you. Here are the frozen vials. They're labeled with the number of the donor and the date that they were collected.
What's the date on that?
November 13th, 2008.
How long can you store it for?
Pretty much indefinitely. We have a limit on the number of families per donor. Mm. We try to limit all of our donors to 10 families.
Was that the limit in Daly's case, my donor?
Back then, we weren't as computerized as we are now, yeah. So we do have a handful of donors who went over. We also have had some donors who were donors elsewhere. I think some donors weren't straightforward and didn't tell us that information. And I think there were periods of our history where we didn't ask.
Yeah, because you went to a couple of sperm banks,
Since the record keeping in the US, particularly in the 90s for cryobanks, was so atrocious, we don't have a definitive number of how many of us there are, especially because we're across two banks, and like one bank had better record keeping than the other.
Because there are so many women, and maybe five guys, six guys or something, we suspect we have at least, you know, another 10 or something.
Honestly, we might never know, just because there are, you know, families with mothers and fathers that never intend on telling their children.
It breaks my heart, like, every day. And I think about it constantly, that there are, like, siblings out there that I'm never gonna know. Like, there are people out there walking around that are my brothers and sisters that I am never going to be allowed to know. And for, like, ethical reasons, we should be allowed to know who our siblings are. A couple people in our group went to high school together. Nobody wants to accidentally date their brother.
We never did.
I, like, typically don't date people who are, like, under 26. And then, like...
Why?
Because then they could be a sibling. We would not have a sibling that's older than 26, just based on when Daly donated.
So Daly would have come in here?
This is one of the collection rooms.
So this is where Daly would have come. That is...
Yeah,
but, pardon the pun. Yeah. Oh my God.
We have magazines. We also have Wi-Fi. So most of the donors bring their own supplies.
Has that been there since the 90s?
No.
That's not bad looking.
How does it make you feel that your life kind of started with Daly in a small room?
I mean, you didn't have to put it like that. You know, you don't have to put it that way.
Sperm cells swimming, then Jody looking through more paperwork.
Golly, gosh, so this is the one we chose.
When no one else can understand me.
I had most of Daly's profile memorized as a kid because my mom still had a hard copy, and that was the only thing I had of his. You
give me hope. Sibling one, Brittany.
But at that age, I wasn't thinking of him as a singular, tangible person. It was just kind of this abstract figure, this father, a general kind of feeling of loss or getting sad on Father's Day because everyone else had a dad and I didn't.
A photo of a handsome brown-haired man in sunglasses.
The wonder of you.
Your donor had originally participated as an anonymous donor and he changed his mind. And so when we have a donor and says that he wants to change his mind, then we reach out to the families and we let them know.
Spencer and I both had a lot going on at the time, and we were just like, well, we'll get to it later. I was working at a restaurant, and I started to notice I would be serving a table, and there would be a man in his mid-40s, and I would kind of, like, stare at him a little extra, and I didn't even realize I was doing it for a while, and then I was like, okay, maybe I really do want to know who this is. I don't want to have to wonder forever if every random guy that passes me on the street might actually be my dad. Your love for me
is everything. So we met up with him for the first time with my mom, because I told her, like, I cannot do this by myself. I need you by my side. She said, yeah, of course. You love me. Taking that next step, actually seeing him face to face, it felt like my whole life had been leading up to this.
Wonder. The man from the photo, who's now a bit older, sits down on a blue sofa that matches his shirt.
My name is Daly, and I am part of a very special family situation.
He grins.
There was a clinic down the street. Some attractive young woman was, like, strolling by, and she knew what the clinic was and saw me walking in and just, like, gave me a wink and said, I hear they give out free cookies. Like, I had this choice, either be an anonymous donor or an identity release donor. You know, being at that age, I said anonymous.
What made you change your mind?
Mackenzie looked me up, went through the bank. They said, oh, this person's anonymous, but we'll reach out and ask him anyway. There was really no question. How could I deny her that information? I called the two banks and had them change me from anonymous to identity release. When this whole thing started, I was aware that there were four. Four seemed like a big number, but manageable. And then it was six, and then it was eight, and then it was 10, and then it would get bigger.
What does that feel like? You meet them as adults and you're their dads.
How did those first meetings go?
I was shaking thinking about meeting him. I just got off like a 13-hour shift. I was like, oh, sweaty.
On the one hand, I didn't want to be too familiar.
Daly is not a parental figure to me, and he's not really a paternal figure to me.
Who is this guy? Why is he being so presumptuous? This is not my dad. He didn't raise me.
I honestly think that if he never came forward or we never found him, I don't think I would have thought twice about it.
I also didn't want to be too distant and have them feel like, why doesn't he want to know me? Or why doesn't he want to be connected to me? Is he ashamed of me or something?
I was just kind of in awe for like the first hour and just like the pure joy.
He was wearing sunglasses actually when I met him. And then when he took off his sunglasses, it really hit me and I was like, those are my eyes. I mean, I guess technically my eyes are his eyes.
Is it possible to have a relationship with 26 kids?
Of course it is.
Footage of Daly meeting the siblings in 2018 and holidaying with them at a beach resort in Mexico.
You know, a lot of people have this experience when they have kids, when they have children, right? You have a newborn baby and you look at this baby and you're so overwhelmed with love. It's just this bottomless pit of all of your positive emotions. And you can't imagine sharing it with anyone else. And then you have another and you realize, you know, your heart just cracks open and it gets bigger.
What about Ollie?
I've really enjoyed meeting Ollie. Ollie, I think, has, I would say, among all of those that have wanted to come into the group and kind of get acclimated and get into the group dynamic, I think he's struggled probably the most.
Driving down a winding forest road.
So how are you feeling about seeing Daly again?
I mean, it's complicated. The first time I met him, we just didn't connect.
Jesus Christ, why does he have to live up a hill?
He says, Ollie, you don't understand still. You need to learn the tools of life to get along with people. Essentially, what he means by that is you don't have the right to be yourself. And that's quite hurtful.
I've tried to give some advice here and there about how to navigate. I'm not sure he's 100% receptive to advice.
Daly, be involved with humility. Ollie, in your eyes, I'm always doing something wrong.
Oliver and I have had some spirited conversations. I see my relationship with him as having room for lots of growth.
What would you say specifically you connect with me on?
We have I think there's a lot of family traits that, you know, verbal acuity. There's a lot of no dummies in the group, right?
Yeah. Anything unique to you and me?
I don't know, Oliver. I feel like our ability to get to know one another has been, you know, it's been fits and starts.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, we've had our struggles in the way some of the group interactions have gone. And how do I figure in your life these days?
I do feel like a closeness to you and I do want to have a relationship, but sometimes it feels like I'm sort of insufficient.
You've told me that before.
I know.
It's not true, it's not about that. And I mean, I have tried to help you, side message you in the middle of these conversations where things seem like they're going off the rails and I recognize that you may not fully understand why people are reacting the way they are. Like, I mean, I'm trying, you know?
So for me, that comes across as I'm insufficient. Growing up, I had that constant message that I wasn't behaving the way that people needed me to, that I, and that sort of just drilled the message in my head that I'm not normal and I'm not good enough.
It's contextual. It's like the skill and judgment, and these are people who I know better than you do because I've known them for a long time. And we came into the group with a whole bunch of women. A lot of them are have been in this space for a long time and are comfortable talking about certain things, and you came in and started using the word bitch.
To describe a celebrity as a bitch.
To just use the word, right?
Right.
And,
because I'm a
guy.
And
it created, no, for anyone.
The girls use created, it several times. See,
this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're turning it into like identity politics and a political and a like rational, and you want to talk about it in those terms. That's not what it is. It's just about respect.
No, but the girls use it.
It's not about that. This is rehashing one of the very first fights that caused a lot of alienation. And I'm telling you again, it was about respect.
So I can't use a certain word because people have a trauma response when a man uses it. For me, it's very much more about intentions. It's about how, it's about knowing people and it's about knowing their intentions.
Years ago, before he was diagnosed with Asperger's, I thought, well, maybe I'm not strict enough. Maybe I was, you know, so I spent a year shouting at him, you know, can't shout.
So you think you have more entitlement to disrespect people that you know?
It's not disrespect. For people who really know me, I just want to be myself.
You're asking the entire world to accommodate just you.
Oh, no, I'm not.
What is the
You can never really get through to Ollie because he'll be thinking exactly what he thinks and he won't be able to see someone else's point of view. You can't parent an Asperger's child. You're there to just buffer them throughout life.
Jodie's watching an old video of her and Ollie at an indoor play centre.
Any parent, if a third party came into the picture, a strange man who you made a decision about 20 years ago then pops up and has an influence over your child's life, well, that's a difficult pill to swallow, isn't it?
Because Daly's Ollie's dad.
He's not. To me, a dad is someone who has been there, kicked a ball, played a part. A donor is something that is a donation. It's not a role.
I don't know. It makes me wonder if there's a way that we could have a better relationship. If it was more just the two of us, not in the context of this other family group, because I'm defensive for everyone.
It'd be nice to have a scenario where it would be just us sort of in a neutral habitat, you know.
In the most unpleasant of exchanges, I've said the same thing, right? Like, I'm not going to write you off.
He lowers his gaze and furrows his brow. Ollie leaves Daly's house.
I mean, he's not my dad because he didn't raise me. I think there's potential for another type of relationship, like a more uncle-type relationship. But he can't open his mind to the fact that perhaps I'm quite a different person to most people. I think he sort of wants me to mould myself and to be someone I'm not. It's actually very sad for me because it means that it's almost impossible for me to actually have a close relationship with him. Ollie's on a night flight.
Mum, hi darling. It's the big group thing today. Ollie, yes. Biggest sibling meetup ever. 20 of us and Daly in LA Mansion for the weekend. Mum, wowzers. The plane lands, but Ollie's asleep and doesn't notice. He wheels his suitcase out of the airport, wearing a pair of designer sunglasses.
Here to welcome you to our home of LA. This is a city where dreams become reality. So no matter what your story is or where your dreams may take you, there's a place in Los Angeles just for you.
Mum, how are you feeling about it? Ollie, bit stressed. Flying over LA.
Well, the meetup for me, you know, it is my family, so obviously it's important to me, but I don't want to get my expectations up. Occasionally, when people sort of get to the real me, they really like it. But more often than not, they don't like it. And I end up being rejected. So it is quite sort of scary. I always think going into relationship, am I going to do or say something, or are they going to get to know me better and then back off and reject me? I don't know. There's just been such a consistent pattern of a lot of people rejecting me. What if they're just hanging out and they just don't want me there? Like, what if they don't want me?
He watches two cars pull into the driveway as he sits by a window in the mansion.
Hello! Hey. Oh my gosh, you look amazing!
Hey, what's up?
Don't
you
test? No, oh, good. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Riding in style.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Oliver!
Melissa! Hey!
This is like the perfect setting for a murder mystery.
I need this fire going ASAP. Why'd you turn it off? Holiday, oh,
holiday, and the best one of the year. Spencer and Sarah run into each other's arms as more of the siblings arrive.
Hello.
Hannah hugs Jeremy, then Ollie.
Hello again.
Ollie's playing table ice hockey with Spencer.
Going owned by your little brother. Humiliating, Spencer.
Brishni and Kristen arrive together. Ollie embraces Kristen, and Brishni gives someone a hug in the crowded kitchen. Sibling six, Sarah.
The siblings that I'm related to, that I have these really close relationships to, I chose to have really close relationships to. It wasn't forced upon me because we're blood related.
I think you guys look so much alike.
Yeah. One of the things that irritates me, someone will be like, oh, I like spicy food. And then someone else will be like, oh my God, I like spicy food too. We're so related. And I'm like, no, you just both fucking like spicy food. Like.
Jeremy's wearing a dinosaur mask, and three of the siblings are reading by the fireplace.
Kelly, I've been talking about boy things.
Lay it on me. This is my favorite conversation.
I mean, it's amazing that we've all been brought together by biology, but at the same time, you know, I am going to bond more and hang out more with people that I actually have things in common with.
Asking important questions.
Ollie's sitting around a fire pit with some of his siblings.
I'm going to pop a cycle water out.
Okay. Cool. Wait, so you saw Emily and Hannah?
Yeah, because we are. I think kind of.
Ollie's sitting on his own inside.
Doing all right? Anxious and. Yeah.
He goes into the now empty kitchen and pours himself a glass of water.
I've always managed Ollie's life in a way where I know what he can cope with and when he can't.
Where's the loop here? It's like.
A doctor did say to me years and years ago that Ollie will, that with the Asperger's will definitely show up in emotional states.
Anxious. And I need something to take the edge off.
Oh, it's been 9 hours. Hey!
How are you?
Good, how are you? We like dish out the rest of these hugs.
Daly's arrived, and Ollie's walking around on his own outside.
Fuck's sake.
I love it so much.
Oh my God.
Knock, knock!
Sterling and Mackenzie walk in and are instantly greeted by their excited siblings. Sterling and Jordan share a big hug.
I didn't know that Jordan and Sterling hadn't met until like 5 minutes ago.
Like it just hasn't happened.
It's like you actually exist now.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Ollie walks past them and into the empty living room. He stands on his own, anxiously sipping his glass of water.
From a social setting, it all comes down to his inability to process what's going on around him. And in a heightened emotional situation where there's 26 other people, all with their backstories, all with their feelings, for Oliver, it's like putting him into a minefield. There is no way that Oliver can navigate a situation like that. It's never gonna happen.
Ollie walks out through the front door.
What is happening, Ollie?
He's walking away through the grounds of the house, a silhouette moving through the dim light. Now he's smoking a cigarette by a fence.
Ollie, what's happening?
I can make one wrong move, say one wrong thing, and then I'm fucked, and then everyone's pissed off with me, so I don't...
But is that true?
Yes, unfortunately, I wish it wasn't.
Should we just try it?
No, it's not something I'm just getting to. I'm not in the headspace, I'm too anxious, I just need to...
He's sitting by the fire pit with Spencer.
So fucking stressed, honestly.
I get you, honestly. I think you're probably overthinking it to a degree. A lot of the time, like in the group chat, where you feel like you need to watch what you're saying, it's when the content of conversations is like particularly heavy or like political or something about ethics or something like that, right? Mm. But, you know, as of right now, since everything is like particularly lighthearted, I don't think there's anything you could say that.
I didn't realize I'd be this anxious. I hope I'm not leaning on you too much and just being annoying and sort of emotionally draining.
No, I mean, I don't want you going through this whole thing feeling like you're drowning and you have no one to talk to about it, you know. I want to talk to you about it. I don't want you to feel like you can't talk to me because you're annoying me or anything, because that's not the case, so. Yeah, just focus on the positivity with all the cool people here who you know.
Okay.
People have different views about whether or not you owe someone like your time based only on the fact that they're related to you. But I feel like there is a ton of potential for really deep friendships by virtue of the fact that we are family. Ollie, he started getting really close with Sterling. Sterling went and visited him in London. I suggest to Ollie all the time that he should try and mend the relationship. I think he would benefit from it a lot.
Morning, and Ollie's sitting in front of the fireplace messaging his mum. I'm going to have it out with Sterling. Be careful. Kiss.
I was waiting outside of your house. Then I stay in the hotel the next day, and I'm waiting for you for hours. You're online, you're having conversations with people, ignoring me,
Oliver.
Ignoring my messages, my calls, and not turning up for 3 hours. Like, that was so hurtful. I had such a close relationship to you, and then it really fucking affected me, Sterling.
I see that you're hurt, and I understand that.
You fucking hurt me.
Oliver, let me talk.
No, you don't care, though. You think that you're the
care.
Victim, and that
I
you're
do
the good
care.
Guy.
I'm trying to talk to you about this, and you're not letting me.
But I have a right to be angry with you after all your shit, Sterling.
You have the right to be angry, but I also have the right to explain why I think I distanced myself from you. You did something that hurt a lot of people in this group. I'm talking about the donation thing.
Tested my infertility.
I'm not.
Because I'm thinking about potentially later down the line becoming a donor.
But you know that you can't.
Why?
Because you have Asperger's.
Why can't you just fucking accept me, like,
because,
for me?
Because you
What's
don't
What's wrong
seem
with
to...
me, Sterling? Like, I don't fucking get it.
Because you don't seem to care.
But you piss me off sometimes, and I'm happy that you have the freedom to be you. I don't want to edit you or change you.
Do
into
you know how many
not...
times you've hurt me and I've just eaten it because I've tried to let you just be you? I don't want you to be hurt. I know that you feel you've had to budge your entire life. You've had to shift and move farther and farther away from who you feel you are. But you and your identity is not your behavior. You don't seem to accept responsibility for your actions. You don't believe what other people say, as you think that others' reactions aren't reasonable.
A lot of them aren't.
They are, though, because that's what they feel.
I genuinely just don't show affection in the way that you want me to, Sterling. It's just not natural to me. I don't know what you want from me.
At this point, I don't know either. I know you look up to me as a big brother type. What I imagine, and I can't speak for you, but what I imagine it looks like is that you are given this wonderful opportunity of all these people that, in a way, is like, you can't change blood. In a way that these people should just love me or should accept me automatically. And it's been really challenging. I just want us to be as open with each other as possible.
I think we should move forward, but because of the way you spoke to me about the fertility thing, I still think I'm going to be hurt for a while.
I get that, and you know that I am...
I'm sorry. I honestly can't.
Ollie walks off across a tennis court, and Sterling sighs as he watches him go.
I don't know why that one thing is such a point of contention. I really don't.
Arms crossed and looking pensive, Sterling shakes his head.
Muhammad rolling dice with Christ at twilight.
Sperm cells swimming under a microscope. Ollie standing on his own looking left out as a group of the siblings take photos of Brooklyn's baby, Luna. Ollie's smoking outside by the fire pit with sibling 14, Jordan.
You know what, I've been in this for a few years, and it took me probably at least a full year to be able to move past a little bit of the pain I think that I felt when it wasn't maybe what I expected going into it initially. Even though we are related, this is a random sample of strangers. The connection comes from the fact that we are in a very unique situation. The bond that we might feel with the other people in this group doesn't have to be because we're family.
Genetics is sort of just the door to relationships with people, and you don't necessarily have to walk through it.
That
right?
is a very yeah. good way of putting it. I have come to such a peaceful spot with the place that I have in this group, even though it is distance, not even necessarily age.
The right sort of path for me as well, to be honest.
There's so much to be gained. My best friends are in that room.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who you have interacted with a lot or a little, but maybe the people you've hardly talked to at all are going to end up being the most important relationships you've had. It evolves with time, and there are going to be always more people coming into this group. We're never even going to know if we found everyone. So the minute you think that you maybe have got it, it might change again.
A new sibling makes her way up the driveway.
Coming in new and having just found out. Sorry, I'm so nervous.
Elise, sibling 26, shuts her eyes and takes a deep breath.
Am I ever going to be 100% ready? In a way, like, so much is about to change. Like, a lifetime of connections is starting now.
Hey, people!
Yes!
Wait, do you know who I am?
I know it.
Sterling, it's nice to meet you. Finally, officially.
Who is this? I don't know who this person is. Is she related to me?
Ollie and Elise embrace with big smiles on their faces. Elise is teary-eyed.
I'm so happy to meet you.
And you have the eyes as well.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you.
She hugs daily.
Sorry, this is a lot. All of them and me too. I mean, welcome to the circus. It's funny, I was asked the other day, well, you must just mix them up all the time because there's so many, like confuse who lives where. And I was like, no, actually not at all. This kind of information sticks on a totally different level. It's not in the same league as friends or acquaintances. They are family ties.
Right.
I've been following her on Facebook pretty intently.
This is something that doesn't go away. We're genetically related.
Oh yeah, baby smells.
They're family to me. That's how I engage with them, that's how I treat them, that's how I feel about them.
Are you gonna try and go up further?
Yeah. Just one more.
So silly.
I don't know how Hannah is higher than Spencer.
Why? Because I'm a girl.
Dad, how you got up there so fast.
Callan, we're gonna need to talk about feminism.
Oh, there's a family tree metaphor in there somewhere.
You just have to sit like at the bottom.
That's right.
That'd be really funny. Can we make that happen?
I will. I'll come stand underneath it to get a quick picture. Sterling, could you help wrangle him for a second so he doesn't?
Hey, Oliver. Oliver, will you take a picture?
Yeah. Can you please not kill yourselves?
Are you getting Daly in it?
No, I think the idea is to come down here.
Do him as well.
No, but to get all of us in the shack because it's a family tree metaphor.
Oh, right. Okay, I got it.
Say 26 of us have two kids. That's 50 kids plus 20. So that's like a 75-person family reunion.
Do you think I'll break this if I try to walk out?
The family tree will become so extensive. Like, our kids' kids' kids in the future, like, if they want to get into genealogy, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess for them. Like,
as people start having kids and stuff and getting married, like, when people continue to be there through, like, these huge life events, I think that it's just going to make us closer.
I don't know how I'm going to handle bridesmaids because I can't include everyone, but where do I cut it off?
Jeremy.
Once we all have kids, if we want to do this, like, we're going to have to, like, rent out a whole summer camp and, like, everyone will be in cabins. We're going to have, like, activities scheduled.
Unpopular opinion, I'm not getting all these kids' birthday presents. I'm sorry, there's too many of you. No, I'm not even gonna remember their names. I don't even remember all my half-siblings' names.
Every once in a while, like, stop and, like, sit back and think how, like, truly amazing everything is, like, how the last 10 years, like, what would my life be like if I, like, hadn't found siblings?
They're always gonna be there. Like, I have no sense of rush.
And no one's gonna judge anyone for how fast or slow they feel like going.
Well, okay, so you're orangey, and then Carolyn's gonna be over there, maybe, like, you could probably go right here.
What, is Ollie's 20? I'm 22? You know, in 10 years, we'll be in our early 30s. There's still so much time. I care about Ollie, and I want for him to be happy, and I want what's best for him, and I'm gonna stick around, right?
Okay. Everyone, let's here we go. Here, everyone, 3, 2, 1, smile.
1, 2, 3, sperm man.
Ollie's standing on the end of the back row. He makes the devil horn gesture with his hand while his siblings put their arms in the air.
Yeah, I mean, it's over now. I'm so grateful for the fact that I even have one relationship with a sibling. The idea that I could have, like, 4 or 5 is just insane. And I'm gonna pursue one-on-one relationships, but I can't be involved in the group dynamic again. It's too stressful for me.
Are you gonna change, Jules?
What would I change into? What would I do? What would I change into? What is there for me to change into? Tell me. The answer is that I can't expect people to see me a certain way. I can't expect everyone to see me for me. I can't expect everyone to not require that I behave like a different person. I can't expect that from people. I think just through me being me, there are people that won't like me. And I think that's okay.
He walks off, wheeling his suitcase. At night, he's sitting in his hotel room with the lights off, staring at his phone. He's on the WhatsApp group, and his finger is hovering over the exit group button. He presses it and leaves the group. Mum, all okay, darling? Ollie, all good. I'll be home in the morning. Love you. Big kiss. Ollie's on a plane sitting by the window. He stares out as the plane taxis along the runway. The plane takes off. Ollie continues to build individual relationships with his siblings, but he's staying away from the WhatsApp group. Jody opens her door to Ollie and gives him a big hug.